Greetings and blessings, faithful followers of Bartimaeus Baptist Temple, founded bbtemple.org on the internet. That was a brief life story of the late, great John Donne. Today, we continue our legacy series with a glimpse into the fascinating life of John Donne in our study entitled simply, Who Done It? I am a huge fan of John Donne, and I'm especially impressed with someone who can not only write poetry, looks like he got paid for it, but have peeps just like me still talking about it centuries after you're homegoing. That's something. So let's turn the page and be enlightened on how our awesome Lord can use even creative types for his glory. Amen. Now, today, I'm going to give the clicker person the day off for good behavior. We're not going to change slides. You're just going to sit and listen. So sit back and relax and be enlightened about John Donne. John Donne, born January 22nd, 1572, and went home to be with the Lord on March 31st of 1631, was an English scholar, a poet, soldier, and secretary born into a Catholic family, a remnant of the Catholic revival, who reluctantly became a cleric in the Church of England. He was Dean of St. Paul's Cathedral in London, and he is considered the preeminent representative of the metaphysical poets. His poetical works are noted for their metaphorical and sensual style and include sonnets, love poems, and religious poems, Latin translations, epigrams, elegies, stories, satires, and he's also known for his sermons. But perhaps best known for his holy sonnets, which we'll be looking at today. Now, despite his great education and poetic talent, he lived in poverty for several years. Maybe poetry doesn't pay that well after all, relying heavily on wealthy friends. Things don't change much over the centuries. He spent much of the money he inherited during and after his education on womanizing, literature, pastimes, and travel. But in 1601, Donne secretly married Anne Moore, with whom he had 12 children. So he went from being a priest to having 12 children. What a guy. In 1615, he was ordained deacon and then Anglican priest, although he did not want to take holy orders and only did so because the king ordered it. He also served as a member of parliament in 1601 and in 1614. But what we're going to do today is we're going to take a closer look at what are known as the Holy Sonnets, which have a religious theme. So, these Holy Sonnets, also known as Divine Meditations or Divine Sonnets, they're a series of 19 poems, and he wrote them mainly at the end of his life. The sonnets were first published in 1633. That's not until 2 years after he went home to be with the Lord. So in his lifetime, he was not a published poet. They're written predominantly in the style and form prescribed by Renaissance Italian poet Petrarch. And the sonnet is the form that we're going to look at. Does anyone know what a sonnet is? What the form is? Oh, I'm sure Don knows, but I'll tell you anyway. It's two quatrains. What is a quatrain? It's a four-line stanza. Two quatrains and a sestet, or a six-line stanza. Actually, I thought it was two quatrains and a couplet. So it's 14 lines. So you got two groups, four lines, that's 12. Add two, there's your 14. And this is perhaps his best known sonnet. It's simply known as Holy Sonnet 14. He didn't come up with any really clever names. But I think you will see in this, I will try my best to read it in the style in which it is written to really convey some of the inner turmoil that he is battling with. Better my heart, three-personed God, for you as yet but knock, breathe, shine, and seek to mend, that I may rise and stand, or throw me and bend your force to break, blow, burn, and make me new. I, like a usurped town, to another do labor to admit you, but oh, to no end. Reason your viceroy in me should defend, but is captive and proves weak or untrue. Yet dearly I love you and would be loved fain, but am betrothed unto your enemy. Divorce me, untie, or break that knot again. Take me to you, imprison me, for I, except you enthrall me, shall never be free, nor ever chaste, except you ravish me. Right now, currently playing, I believe it's next month, is The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis. And so he's sort of hitting on this not being, I don't believe he was a contemporary, but certainly along the same lines, talking about his feeling that he's asking to be divorced from this enemy that he is betrothed to. And just to break that chain, to break that bondage. And that is what we are all seeking, is to be aligned with the Lord. But we often so much time find the opposite, amen? That here we are, we can be going along, and yet it continues to be a struggle, even for believers. And it's just an encouragement to me to look at the life of someone like this and think, wow, this guy had so much going, and yet he knew the struggle. And what might have otherwise have just vanished into history, he wrote it down so that centuries later, we can look at that and be encouraged to know we're not the only ones that struggle with these things, and it continues to be a struggle. While we are yet in the land of the living, it's going to continue to be so. But the Lord has made a way. Amen? So just, I wish we had the luxury of time to dive into the depths of that poetic sea. Oh boy, oh Linda, give it up. But alas, we do not. Thankfully, we do not. But here's the takeaway that I want for you, good peeps, to remember about John Donne. if God can use an artistically tortured soul's wrestlings for his glory, he can use you. And he can use me. And he's not waiting for us to get all cleaned up. He's simply waiting for us to cry out. So whatever's got you bound, whatever you're dealing with, cry out to the Lord. And he will set you free. Amen. Let's just do a closing prayer. Heavenly Father, I am just so humbled and amazed when I look at people like John Donne and Harriet Tubman we looked at last week, because sometimes we're tempted to look in the Bible and say, well, maybe David did that, or no, maybe somebody else did this or that. But these people are in the Bible. I could never do that. And yet, I'm so, so very encouraged, Lord, when you show me that you can take my absolute mess and yet bring it, use it to bring you glory. Humbled and amazed, Lord. So we praise you. We thank you for all that you have done, for all that you continue to do, and for all that you're going to be doing in the future. And we just ask, Lord, for the courage, for the strength, for the wisdom to continue to press forward and not to give up. Whatever is befalling us, whatever has us in bondage, he has made a way for us to be free of that. Free of that. So let us turn to him with our hearts, our minds, our souls, our body, all of our strength. Oh, Heavenly Father, you are so awesome. No words that I have could do it justice. We simply want to say, Lord, in the holy name of Christ Jesus, we praise you and thank you. Amen.